Morning, everyone.
Morning, morning. Hi, Daisy. Good morning. I've made you a co-host so that you can be able to share the presentation when we start the meeting.
Good day, Nkululeko. Yes, it's Mzi. It's fine. When Daisy joins, she will be able to share.
Yes, thanks, Ramzi. She's already joined, but I think she
Oh,
wants
she's
to.
here. Okay, I could not see the name. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi, Daisy.
Good morning, Nkululeko
Hi, Daisy. Did you
Good
capture
morning,
what I was
Daisy. Good
saying?
morning.
Yes, I heard that I must share on this while the presentation is running, so I'm quickly going to my email.
Okay, cool, no problem.
Good morning.
Morning, ma'am.
Hi, Farida. Good morning.
Morning, Farida.
Farida, you are muted, ma'am. Can you unmute?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Myself.
Morning, Zopolo.
Hello, Mzi. Hello.
Yes, Daisy.
Can you see my screen, reader?
Yes, it says we are you are sharing your screen.
Okay, you don't see the presentation.
No.
Okay.
Okay, Daisy, can see the presentation now.
It's there.
I don't know.
Okay, it just went away again.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, Daisy, we can see the presentation now. Just see. Thanks, Daisy.
Good morning, all. It's Yunus Karim, the chair. Regrettably, I have some problems, so I won't have a video on for now. But welcome to everybody, in particular, obviously, to Sastra, our guest today. And we're back with them as we were some months ago. And we welcome them, and particularly welcome all the others who are on the platform. Firstly, an apology to Sastra in particular, but to all of us who are here. The meeting was meant to start at 10. We had to bring it forward to 9 for reasons beyond our control. Suddenly late last week, we were informed that there's this meeting taking place at 2 o'clock, and we were not affected because our meeting's from 10 to 1. Then we were told yesterday afternoon, I gather from Inkululeko Kumangweni, our secretary, that no, the meeting's starting at 12:30 and it's a separate first meeting of the NCOP. And because members complained that we rushed from one meeting to another, we said, all right, we'll bring the meeting forward. The request has been to finish by 11:30 from one member, at least possibly two. We can sit for 3 hours if it's necessary. If it's not, there's some disruptions there, interruptions. Can you sort that out in Kuleleko? So having said all of that, welcome everybody over to you, Sastra. Can you introduce your team and go for it? I think about 45 minutes will do us. And then there'll be questions and so on. And then you'll have more opportunities to come back when you reply to questions. And in fact, anything you want to say further, I think there'll be plenty of time for that. So over to you, Sastra.
Hello.
Yeah, you're there. Just introduce yourself and your team, please.
Good day, Chair. The name is Mpumi Kikwe. I'm the incoming managing director of Sasria. I started my duties at Sasria on the 8th of May. My colleague that you have spoken to before is unfortunately on leave today. That was planned some time back. And I have with me the CFO of Sasria that you have met before, Bajabulile, and then I've got two other executives, one responsible for stakeholders, Muzi, and the other responsible for claims, Farida, and I see the chairperson of our remuneration committee is on the line, and I will hand over to her now, Ume Mantuka, my seller.
Okay, instead of me intervening all the time unnecessarily, you are the chairperson of your finance committee, coordinate who says what when on your behalf. Instead of me saying, okay, you know, next, please, and so on. Do you understand? It just flows easier. I don't know who in your team is going to deal with what part of your presentation. So I'll leave the coordination to you and or your chairperson of the finance committee. So over to the chairperson.
Hi, I'm saying to Yusuf. Apologies, I'm driving. Yeah, as you said earlier, we were expecting the meeting to start at 10, so we're all trying to juggle our schedules to make sure we have the
Yes, unfortunately, it's beyond our control.
Yes, yes, I understand that. I'm just apologizing for, you know, if you can hear sound.
No, no, we understand. We understand, my friend. If you get cut off, then the others will take over. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay, no problem. My name is Kudiso Mokonyane. I'm deputy chair of SASRIA. So when the board chair couldn't make it, he asked me and Ms. Manduka Maisela to attend this meeting. So Ms. Maisela is the chairperson of our remuneration committee. She is joining us here. So I think the MD of SASRIA had asked Ms. Maisela to say a few words. So I'll hand over to her.
Thank you very much for offering us the opportunity to present to yourselves this morning. It is indeed a privilege for us to have met with yourself for the second time since the last time that you met. Management will be presenting the presentation that we have prepared for yourselves. And I think at the end of the presentation, we will then take questions from yourselves, and thanks once more for everybody being present here. And I don't know whether it's us who have to welcome you or you must welcome us, but thank you very much for the privilege.
No, please, you're answerable to the committee, so we welcome you. This is Parliament. But, you know, Can I just say this? I don't need to intervene, and I'm not one to intervene, although some of my colleagues, especially from the opposition party, will say, really? But that's fine. Okay, look, it's just that, you know, you say it's a privilege and an honor and all, but quite frankly, it's your right to appear before Parliament. It's our right to, obviously, especially at these times following the July unrest, to sort of see how progress is going. So really, you know, we're not doing you a favor by you coming here, and I think you'll accept that you have to answer to Parliament. So welcome indeed. Yeah, we welcome you. Okay, it's a very interesting... I like what you said. You said, I'm not sure whether we welcome you or you welcome us. That's very nice. All right. But anyway, for what it's worth, we welcome you. And please, you're most welcome, and do go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks for the welcome.
Thanks. I guess it's Zoom, so Zoom makes it a bit weird in terms of we are also at our own comfort, but not in Parliament. But yeah, thank you for the welcome.
Okay.
We will hand over to the executive, who will then take us through the presentation that we have prepared for you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We'll have our CFO presenting. If I've heard the chairperson of the committee correctly, we will do the presentation in its entirety. So over to you, Bajabulile.
Thank you so much. Chair, and I would like to greet all the honorable members on this line, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Bajabulile Mthiane. I am the finance director of SASRIA, and I'm going to speak to the person who's leading the slides. To please start to show the slide. The slide is no longer displaying now. I hope everyone can.
Yeah, she's working on it, members, and apologies for that challenge.
No, it's fine. That's a technical matter. We've already got copies. Some of us have browsed through them. Some have read them even. And others will do so as we proceed. So we've got the text. So you can speak to it even if the screen doesn't show it. Okay? Please go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to start with the first slide. The first slide, which shows slide number 2. It just shows the presentation outline. So on my part, I'm going to cover the 2021 out highlights, the key performance indicators, and the financial projections. And then slide number 3, I'm going to skip. It's a title slide. Then slide number 4, which is this 2021 highlights. this slide basically says 2021 for Sasria was the biggest year, one of the most successful years whenever at Sasria. When we look at our gross written premium, we find that we grew from 2020 to 2021 financial year, we grew just over 15%. This was the main contributing factor. It was basically price increases across most of our products. And then also in 2021, the highlight of 2021 financial year was the lockdown. The lockdown, the hard lockdown that took place from about March, end of March 2020, contributed to a lowest level of claims that we ever seen at Sasria. I suppose this was because there was restricted movement. People could not gather. People could not gather in common places, and so this ended us with a very low claims incurred. And last year, in 2021, we made a significant profit after tax of about 1.5 billion compared to only 333 million in the previous financial year. Contributing to this, yes, it is the low level of claims. Yes, it is the growth in gross insurance premium, but more even so, it is our investment income that was over 800 million, which saw us, which is close to 3 times growth compared to the year, the previous financial year. Mostly, our investment income was as a result of the markets, the equity markets bouncing back following the lockdown, bouncing back in the last quarter of the year. We managed to recover and incur some gains around our equity income. We managed to pay our shareholder a dividend of 102 million which is because our company was highly liquid. Our company performed very well, as you can see the results. Our equity grew by 8 billion. And the contributing factor is the large profit that we made in the financial year. Also, our assets under management grew by a billion, and this was as a result of significant profits which flowed into our business. Our assets under management is made up of equities, made up of that is at that time, of course now things have changed. I'll take you through where we are now. It is made up of equities, it is made up of money markets, it is made up of cash, and it is made up of government bonds. Our return on equity was about 21.6%, which is the outcome of the excellent performance in the financial year. Our audit opinion, the outcome was unqualified, and we are proud of the hard work and the dedication of our team. staff and management to make this happen. In terms of our contracted KPI with our shareholder, we managed to achieve 11 out of 15 of those KPIs contracted with our shareholders, making it over 73%, making it 73.3% achievement. We have a staff complement of about 100. At that time, in 2021, we had a staff complement of 117. May we go to the next slide? The next slide basically is a summary of our financial capital. At the backbone of our financial capital basically is our gross written premium that we generate. Secondly, it is our investment income. And these perform significantly well in the year of 2021. You may proceed to the next slide. Thank you very much. Then how did we distribute this value which we generated through our core business, which I've alluded to? We managed to distribute this value to various stakeholders that are connected to us. Our employees, through the remunerations and rewards, we managed to pay them out 124 million, and which is a significant increase from the previous year. And our government, I've already alluded to the dividends that we managed to pay out after taking into consideration the future projects, the liquidity of the company, taking into account the solvency of the company, and of course the profitability of the company at that time. The manufactured capital, this of 41 million, which is almost double of the investment from the previous year. This number here refers to the infrastructure, our software and systems that we continue to invest in keeping up with our digitalization strategy, and which is one of the pillars and one of our strategic objectives. And that basically was the value that we distributed, totaling to about 2.197 billion. And there's on the right hand side, of course, we invest in corporate social investment, and it is made up of projects that we invest in communities, projects that COVID-19 relief in the previous years, projects that relate to bursaries, education, and building of houses. These are just some of the projects that we got involved in as far as social economic development and corporate social development or corporate social investment was concerned last year. We invested about 32 million. Taxes, of course, being a law-abiding citizen, we managed to put back into the fiscus a significant tax contribution following
Hello, you're cutting off at times, eh? Hello, or is it just me?
That's
all of us, Jay.
And then we retained income of about 1.0.
Hello?
You've cut again.
Hello. In Kululeko, can you ring and check? Otherwise, somebody else will take over from here.
All right, let me take over. It's
please do, please do. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, let's move on to the next slide. So what we are trying to do on the next slide is to show you projections of the impact that the July riots have on our financial year end. So there are some projections that we have in that particular slide. So as you'll see on the graphs, the gross insurance premiums going up to 3.1 billion. We are projecting a net underwriting loss, which is unprecedented in SASRIA's history, of over 27 billion rand. The investment income will have come down because of the fact that we had to unwind our investment positions and make ourselves more liquid.
Yeah, I'm back.
And then we had the net reinsurance expense going up. Next slide. Okay, Sijabule, you can take over.
Okay, thank you very much. Basically, I apologize about that. Our assets under management, this is what we're expecting for the year 2022. We expect our assets under management to be finishing at the financial year end at 16.5 billion versus 9.5 billion last year. This is mainly because there's been a capital injection from National Treasury of about 22 billion, though we have already started to use some of it for the settling of the valid claims. Out of the 37 billion claims, we've already paid about 22 billion. Of those claims. And of course, if you look on the right-hand side, we still have about over 15 billion worth of claims to settle, and that we expect to conclude in this financial year. We are expecting some reinsurance recoveries still in this financial year. Hence, you see a financial asset or a reinsurance contract asset of about 2.8 billion. And the good thing about the capital injection is that we are now in a positive equity position, though we are carrying an assessed loss of about 27 billion due to the claims that we incurred. You can go to the next slide. Basically, these are just highlights. It's a detailed slide of our financial performance or income statement. It's telling a story of mainly how the pattern for the last 4 years, but mainly the focus being at 2022, where we're projecting to finish. That yes, we've grown very well in terms of our gross written premiums, and this is due to the organic July unrest, and we are seeing the claims of 37 billion, the highest we've ever seen, and hopefully the last we see. And we are seeing reinsurance recovery popping up in 2022 of about 9.2 billion, and it is because of those monies that we've recovered from the reinsurers following the July unrest. And yes, it is going to be a year that will make a huge loss, and we are going to be carrying through an assessed loss of around 27 billion, and we won't be paying tax for a very long time. You can go to the next slide. The financial position, again, where we're expecting to finish, we are saying in the slide, here is the benefit of the cash injected by National Treasury. There's a 16.4 billion which you see there, but it's all going to be utilized to settle all the valid claims and also utilized to ensure that we continue to comply with the solvency capital requirements of our regulator in order to continue to trade and comply with the expected standards of our license. And the highlight of here is the insurance contract liabilities of 15.8 billion. I've already spoken about them, but we expect to conclude paying those valid claims related to the catastrophe in this financial year. Next slide, if you can go to. The cash flow is still telling the same story, flowing from the financial performance and the financial position, that we do see a 22 billion coming through in this slide under financing activities. And we do see under operating activities, a huge outflow of 15 billion that is confirming the claims that we've been busy working hard to settle. You can go to the, also in under investing activities, you see sales of about 6.2 billion of our financial assets. When this July happened, Sasria had to liquidate all of their invested assets in order to assist settle all the claims. Next slide. Next slide, thank you. Okay, I did mention that out of the contracted KPIs, we achieved 73%. I'm gonna highlight the ones that we did not achieve on this slide. And I'm gonna, the first one being irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Yes, we have incurred an irregular expenditure of 804,000. And yes, we have incurred a fruitless and wasteful expenditure of about 26 million. I'll speak into detail in the coming slides. And there's a KPI as well that we did not achieve. We ought to submit all PFMA submissions within a stipulated deadline. However, in this financial year and at hand of 2021, we submitted late a procurement plan for the financial year 2021-2022. And this then disqualified us to achieve this KPI. Next slide. Thank you very much. KPI number eight, which is about making sure that we achieve the financial sector code for skills development. We scored 25 out of 25, that's the target. But in this case, the target is 23 out of 25. The full score is 25 out of 25, of course. But we achieved only 16.95 of the 25. The reason here why we could not achieve the skills development is because it was the hard lockdown. And when it started, people were a bit hesitant to continue with the training that was planned, and some of the trainings, because at that time they were physical, they were suddenly cancelled till further notices, and then this caused us not to achieve the training targets which we had planned at that time. You can continue to the next slide. Thank you. We have a target for ensuring that we reduce the complaints of our customers And in this case, our target was 16 complaints for the financial year, but we achieved 37, which is above our target. And then this caused us to miss our target of complaints by customers. Next slide. Okay. So this here is a summary of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We are bringing in comparatives for the last 3 years, for the last 2 years, I suppose, 2019 financial year and 2020 financial year and 2021 financial year. And this is just to ensure transparency and answer to the questions that Parliament posed. And we summarize the description of each one of these fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The column on the right-hand side is going to be my column of focus, which is the financial year at hand, and which has the highest fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The 25 billion, the 25.9 million of fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred in this financial year is as a result of penalties and interest for the underestimation and late payment of taxes, of which 17.5 billion of that has been recovered. And out of those penalties, I must say that about 3.7% of it is related to the late payment of employee taxes. And why is this amount as high as 25 million worth of penalties? Satria, in 2019, you'd recall that we made a loss of about 72.5 million. This meant we had no tax liability for the financial year. However, Satria bounced back and turned around in the financial year of 2020 to making a profit of 602 million. This led us to underestimate our provisional tax in 2019 and 2020, which resulted in a penalty of 16.8 million with an interest of about 754,000. However, SARS, we managed through following processes, SARS processes, we managed to recover this 16.8 million, 100% of it, and managed to recover and gain a credit from SARS of about 692,000. When you look at the let me call them offenses, for the lack of a better word, for the previous years in 2019 and 2020, you can see that they are not repeated in 2021, because in 2019 and 2020, Sasha made sure that there's investigation of the incidences. There is proper consequence management of the incidences. And in other cases, as you can see on the slide, we managed to recover some of the incurred fruitless and wasteful expenditures in full. We can proceed to the next slide. Oh, and also, of course, we've brought in better controls to make sure that the incidences are not repeated. And here is a summary of irregular expenditure. If I here again, we look at 3 years in totality, the focus being 2021. And in the first incident, we had an issue where we appointed non-tax compliant suppliers, and this has since been rectified. We use CSD reports now to verify and use them. And then in terms of bursaries that were on repeat modules that we issued to our students, this now has since not been repeated because we have revisited our policies and our bursary agreements to make sure that no bursary is issued against a failed module. And this has since improved that control. Yeah. And then the third one, which is the acquisition of goods and services without following RFQ processes, what we have done is we have gone to the business and we have trained the key people or divisions that are involved in procurement on the processes to follow to ensure that everyone in the business compliance with the procurement policies. Because you find that what has happened here with most of these contracts, we do derive value. However, we do derive value. There's no fruitless, there's no wasteful expenditure on the contract. The company does derive value, except that there will be lack of compliance. And then the last one as well, there's been proactive management of all the transactions to ensure that there are no repeat or duplication of payments, and also to ensure that there are no payments followed outside of due processes. Thank you. You can go to the next slide. Thank you.
Thank you. This slide will be covered by Muzi. Muzi, take over.
Thanks. Thanks, CEO. Good morning, all members and management. So the removal of the KPI dealing with alternative distribution, in particular, it related to the 2019 to 2024 strategic horizon of sustainable growth in respect of a strategic intent. So what happened is in 2019, it was included in respect of revenue, but it was premature to be included because the market, the small to medium enterprise market in itself is a separate market from the current target market that Sasria has. So as a result of that, it meant then that Sasria needed to first do a feasibility study to understand the market in itself. And then secondly to that, to develop a product which would be suitable for that particular market, and to do systems as well, and to ensure that the market and the business in itself was developed enough in order to penetrate that market. So it was then removed in the following year, 2020 to 2021. Because it was the year wherein all of these items that I've just mentioned, particularly the feasibility study and the demand analysis, as well as to understand the market in itself, was done. And then a product was subsequently developed as well, which was launched in December last year. So the approval pretty much of the distribution of this product was then approved by board last year in November, I would say. So as a result of that, we are now in the process of ensuring that we are developing the alternative distribution mechanisms, which we are using aggregation to do so. So as such, then it means then that it had then had to be brought back into the KPIs of the current financial year that we're in, the 22-23 financial year. So in a nutshell, pretty much that's the main reason why it was excluded, because it was put in quite early, whereas there's a lot of work that needed to be done prior to it being involved. So I will leave it at that for now in response to that particular question.
Next slide, please. This next stage, Farida will cover the claims update insofar as the July riots. And then thereafter, I will take over to deal with rebuilding and sustainability. Over to you, Farida.
Thank you, Sia. Thank you, Daisy. Next slide, please. This first slide is just an overview to show the destruction, as we've well seen in all the newspapers and well documented. It just brings it home when we look at what we had to deal with. Next slide, please, Daisy. Thank you. So as of the 22nd of April, we do have a daily dashboard. So this is a representation of the 22nd of April. The total claims incurred by SASRI is 36.67 billion, of which we have paid 22.72 billion, with the remaining outstanding balance of payment of 13.95 billion. Next slide, please, Daisy. So how is this claims made up? So by value band, you would note that claims below 1 million rand makes up 85% of the claims that we've received in terms of total number of claims falls within that band, and that the highest value of claims over 500 million, that is in terms of the value, the highest value that we've received. I want to stress that in terms of the claims of under a million rand, we had given a mandate to insurance companies who act as our agent companies because of our outsource model. We gave a mandate to insurance companies right at the beginning of the event, at the end of July, August, to help us in settlement of SASRI claims. That was to expedite payment to clients, as well as ensuring that we had a bigger footprint of people to help us settle the claims. We also allowed for the agent companies to appoint their own service providers, such as loss adjusters and assessors, due to the fact that we were concerned that there would not be sufficient capacity in market and it would delay for SASRI to do all those appointments as well. So that was contractually done via a mandate to these agent companies. And subsequent to that, we had a selected few agent companies, which we gave a bigger mandate of up to 5 million rand. I want to also say that in this, it might, in the number, it says that percentage-wise, only 39.79% of these claims had been settled, but this is due to an administrative situation. The claims which the agent companies have settled on our behalf, we have facilitated a float of money for them to do those claims from, and in order for our system to reflect, we have to do a complete recon. So confirmed by all of these agent companies is that 95% of those claims has been settled. It will only reflect on our system in the claims value paid once we have completed the audited reconciliation program. So we are currently in that program of reconciliation. Next slide, please, Daisy. The lines of business. These are the lines of business that SASRI covers. And this is how the claims then made up. The biggest percentage of claims that we've seen comes from the commercial property, which is understandable. It's the businesses. And then also from the light commercial vehicle and heavy commercial vehicles. Those were also very highly targeted lines of business during the July event in itself. Excess of loss, I need to stress this, is a cover that SASRI offered, where our primary coupon is 500 million for anyone insured. And we offered a cover called excess of loss to cover clients to up to 1 billion rand. And that is a ceded book of business. Our reinsurance carrier carries 80% of the premium as well as 80% of the claim. So that is underwritten in the Lloyd's market. That claims up to 1 billion takes a little bit longer to settle. And that would be for big retailers, as an example, where we have to facilitate the claim with the reinsurers. So the excess of loss claims is a shared portfolio. Next slide, please, Daisy. Where did these claims come from across KZN and Gauteng? You would note that Durban, being being the highest value of claims. And you'll also note that 25 cities represents 35 billion rand of our claims. This will be more granular in future as we are currently looking at geotagging the claims so that we can see within Durban in itself to break it down more granularly. Thank you, Daisy. Next slide, please. Claims per province. So again, where did these claims stem from? Which provinces? KwaZulu-Natal being the highest number, unclassified, and Western Cape. I need to stress that this does not mean that we don't know where these claims took place or that there was incidents in Western Cape. All it says is that the holding company of the business that was affected is either situated in the Western Cape or we have not geotagged it to specifically show where the holding company is. A prime example of a Western Cape claim would be the Shoprite Checkers Group, where Shoprite head office is based in the Western Cape, but the shops that was affected is based in KZN. Thank you, Daisy. Next slide. I'll hand over back to Mpumi for rebuilding of Sasria.
Thank you. Thank you, Farida. And thank you, Chairperson, once more. Sasria, due to the riots, basically was like a very strong boxer. You have this heavyweight boxer. If you look at our results in the year ending March 2021, we were super strong. We had a healthy balance sheet. We had a significant amount of assets under management. And over 9 days, they were completely decimated. So we're flat out on the floor. And now we have to go through the process of making sure that this boxer can stand up and be strong. So you'll have seen Sasria operationally normally deals with about 3,000 claims per annum. And in one event in July, we had over 16,000 claims. So there were issues of operational capacity. We had to bring in some temporary staff to assist us with the influx of claims. Our liquidity came under pressure. We had to liquidate some of our long-term investments. And of course, with liquidity comes cash flow pressures as well. Our solvency, as the members will appreciate, we are regulated by the authority. We need to maintain at least a solvency ratio of 100%. You'll see in the next slide, sometime in November, that went down to a negative. So to respond to that, we did premium increases. Our premiums increased significantly by over 60%. However, I must stress to the members that this was off a low base. Sasria cover is still very affordable. We arranged in August to rearrange our reinsurance arrangements. Previously, we just took cat cover, and in August 2021, we introduced proportional insurance where we had a quota share program. What the reinsurance did, basically, it was to enhance our capital position because we're using reinsurers as a source of capital to that reinsurance arrangement. And then Treasury did the capital injection, which our CFO has alluded to. Now, and then we looked at our financial stability. What do we have to do to make sure that the business gets stronger? We had developed some various scenarios of the future. We looked at new growth initiatives or diversification of the business. Remembering that Sasria is a monoline insurer, we insure perils associated with civil unrest, terrorism, and so on. And we are currently looking at what that means for our long-term capital requirements and what sort of support would we require from the shareholder in future. Next slide. So as I was saying earlier on, you can see the solvency ratio
our solvency capital ratio went down significantly to -347% due to the riots, to the civil unrest we had in July. Next slide. So where are we at the moment? For the year 2022, our solvency was standing at 68%. The regulator, that is the Prudential Authority, has instructed us that by June 2022, we have to be above 100%. We are currently projecting that in June 2022, with the capital injection, the reinsurance arrangement that we have at the moment, we will be sitting at 115%. That assumes that we will have settled 90% of the claims that we have seen in previous slides. What is really interesting about the claims development is that 1%, less than 1%, of the claims were, in terms of the number, were responsible for 64% of the amount. We believe that we'll be able to achieve this target of 90% if we focus on settling the bottom 1%. Some of the reasons why these claims are not settled is because Sasria, instead of paying cash to our policyholders, we opted to reinstate, which means that some of the malls are now being rebuilt. Some are forecast to be finished the following year. So the claims are going to remain outstanding on our system, even though we have approved them, but we're still waiting the invoice through the phases of building. That was the one reason. And the second reason is that some of the smaller commercial businesses are struggling to formulate the claims. You'll appreciate that during the riots, most of them lost their financial records, and we are trying to put them together. Our loss adjusters are assisting where they can, and we have been in touch as well with SARS and asked these smaller businesses to say, look, if you cannot formulate us your claim, you can give us your last submission to SARS. So those are some of the issues that we are faced with in settling some of these outstanding claims. Going forward, though, I asked my colleagues to do another scenario of an event. What event can we withstand going forward? If, for instance, we were to experience an event that would lead to a 3 billion rand loss after June 2022, that solvency ratio of 115% will drop to 91%. What this means is that we are not yet strong insofar as the capital injection is concerned. We are still quite vulnerable, and we have to build the business using the premium increases and so on to get us stronger. Next slide, please. So to give you an update on the rebuilding, I think one needs to give credit to the Sasria team that I am inheriting. It's done remarkably well under challenging circumstances. We have seen some of our top clients, and all of them were thankful in the manner in which Sasria handled their claims to ensure that they get back to business quickly. In fact, some of them said they doubted that Sasria will basically meet its commitments, and it's testament to the role that has been played by the Sasria team, the people in Treasury and Parliament in making sure that we get the cash injection much more faster than it normally takes. So insofar as liquidity and financial sustainability, currently we can say we are on the green there. We've got the cash. We've got the money to meet all our obligation that arose out of the July unrest and us to be properly capitalized. We've engaged our stakeholders. You'll have seen that Salsria went into the front foot insofar as engaging the media, having discussions with the South African public as to how we're responding to the situation of the unrest. And we developed good relationships with all stakeholders, be it client, brokers, agents, and the national regulator. Insofar as growth strategy, risk mitigation and underwriting strategies, there are three initiatives that we are busy with. We have advised our clients that we are increasing premiums, and those premiums will be affected as policies get renewed. Most insurers go through a year renewal cycle. Some do it monthly and others do it annually. We are putting in place other mitigation initiatives. Here, really, we're looking at how we can make sure that businesses are protected even when the police fail to respond. So it's engaging the communities where these losses happen. Firstly, we're going to try and understand why there was those riots, listening to those communities using research, and see what mitigation initiatives can we take to encourage communities not to burn or destroy infrastructure that ultimately serves them. And we are looking at other underwriting initiatives where, for instance, there's a particular product that we've withdrawn, which is the excess of loss cover, which was used by the big corporates. So we've withdrawn that because we couldn't get reinsurance support. When it comes to people, really, we've had a stable team. We anticipated that some of the people might leave the organization because of uncertainty, but really we're pleasantly surprised by the team. They decided to stick it out and see us through these challenging moments. As I've already covered, really from a recapitalization point of view, we put a reinsurance structure in place in August, new rates implemented in Feb. We've received the capital injection, and yesterday we did get from Treasury, they did approve the new memorandum of incorporation for Salsria, which means we can be properly recapitalized by June 2022. Next slide, please. What does the future of Salsria look like? I will not bore the members of the NCOP with this slide. I think you are all aware of the report that was published by the presidency on the three-man panel, which looked at what happened in July. The Human Rights Commission is still concluding its report. Really, the only take that I will share with the members is this, is that when we work out our premiums, our various scenarios, there is a presumption that the police will respond in time. So if you look at the civil unrest in July that occurred over about 9 days, on day 5, the losses were not as significant. But when the people realize that there is no security response, it then accelerated in the last 4 days. This is something that wouldn't have foreseen in our scenarios. Hence, the losses are much more bigger than we would have anticipated. Next slide. Next slide, please. So what's a risk assessment. Currently, if a Sasria were to experience a similar event in the next year or two, we will not be able to withstand them, even with our existing reinsurance arrangement, as the scenario with 3 billion demonstrated. The clients, especially the big investors in South Africa, your retailers, whether it's ShopRite, Pick and Pay, the Foschini Group, are releasing its results sometime this week. For them to invest in the South African economy, they would like to see that we continue to provide cover. Currently, we are restricting all our customers to a maximum cover of 500 million rands per legal entity. This is clearly not adequate. Cover from London, from Lloyd's, which would normally be the other market for them to take the cover. Basically, the premiums have gone, in certain instances, are more than 10 times what it was the year before, because Lloyd's is taking a view that occurrence that happened in July is likely going to reoccur. Next slide, please. So what are we doing? Which is what any conventional insurer does when it's been faced with a loss. You members, I think are old enough to remember September 11, that happened in the US. Post that event, globally, premiums went up. So we are not unique in that response. We've increased our rates and we've reduced the cover that the clients can take. The other thing that when we're studying what is happening in other parts of the world where this cover is provided, is that the insurer, which is normally state-owned, has got access to intelligence information. The study of the report published by the three-man panel showed that a year ago, the intelligence community in South Africa did project that there is going to be more turbulence in the last year. So we would like that sort of information be shared with Sasria where possible, so that we can plan better. We are also working with our clients to see how they can improve their security. Some of our clients are building walls around their distribution centers. They are investing in rubber bullets, in ways for them to protect their property. But in reality, the long-term solution to the problem is not going to be walls. It's going to be how we make sure that South Africans, especially in those communities, participate in the economy. No amount of walls can stop thousands of people determined to enter a place. We have exited the rep product, and as Muzi has spoken, we are trying to penetrate the SME market and the underinsured clients. Next slide, which should be the end of our presentation. My last remark is that South Africa has been here before. The more comparable loss was in the June 1976 riots. And the members will have seen in the last 20 years, Sasria has been rebuilding accumulated reserves. It paid substantial dividends to the state. It paid taxes and so on. We would like to believe that the occurrence of July is not going to repeat itself in the same magnitude if it were to reoccur. In a democracy, we do expect people to protest as it is their right. And as Sazria, we need to be in a financial position to withstand the losses that might occur due to that, and give confidence to our large corporates to continue investing so that we can create more employment opportunities. With that remark, I will say thank you and hand over to the chairperson of the committee for questions.
Right, thank you, sir. Thank you for a very comprehensive and precise presentation. As for its value, the members will comment and I hand over to them. So who's first? Let's see, Nkululeko, you're going to help me. So we've got Dennis, obviously, Mr. Tutoi, Willie Alcub, and for now, those are the three. So over to you, sir. Over to Dennis. Dennis first, then Fani, then Willie. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Chair. Thank you very much indeed. Mr. Chikwe, thank you for your presentation. Let me start by making a few comments on you personally. First of all, congratulations on your appointment. I'm not sure if it's a poison chalice or it's a reward, but I wish you the very best of luck. And on that note, I'd like to just make the point. I think you've been in your position for 2.5 weeks. And the knowledge that you have already on this matter is impressive. And I think that your presentation that you've given us today has been quite comprehensive and has answered many of the questions that I have so far. So well done to you specifically and to the rest of your team that helped you put the detail together. It looks like good things coming. That's good news. Thank you. So my first comment obviously relates to the claims that remain outstanding. And the fact that I'm a little bit disappointed to see that it's around 30% of claims that are still outstanding. Now, you addressed this matter in your presentation to a degree. I do hear what you're saying, that certain rebuilding operations are still taking place and it'll take time for those invoices to flow, et cetera. And I think that's fantastic. And hopefully that is helping a little bit with the cash flow issues. But there's one other worrying aspect, and that related to the SMEs, the small business guy who's been paying premiums to date and is struggling with their claim. And I just want to know, quantify that for me, first of all. How much does that make up? Because realistically, it's the small guy that needs the most protection from government. And it's that small guy that needs that needs our help. So if we've got a lot of people that are still really struggling to formulate their claims, I must say I like the issue of getting their last tax return. But I mean, also many of those businesses were kind of new mom and pop shops that have probably been in existence for less than a year. We saw it on our trip to Pinetown with the Defense Committee, real small little new businesses that didn't have a track record and probably didn't have a set of financials yet to place reliance on. So what assistance are you giving to them? And how's that helping? The other part of the question is, how much of that amount outstanding relates to cash flow issues? In other words, let's be blunt, how much more help do you need from the shareholder? How much more are you going to be asking Treasury to come to the party with? Because I think as the Finance Committee, we also wear a hat on a different day called Appropriations, and that's something that we will be most interested in. So how much are you going to ask Treasury for still? You spoke about the operational capacity issues, and I just like to hear, and I think that, yes, this was, I don't know if it's a black swan, if it's called a black swan, but it was a once-off unexpected, it has all the hallmarks of a black swan type of issue, but how much support did you get from the rest of government? So I think that probably, yes, support from Treasury would have been most welcome and probably desperately needed. We often see the military being deployed to assist with health issues when there's an unusual event and there's support needed. I think Treasury sending some people across to help with some financial issues would have been what I would have expected. If you can tell us perhaps if your operational capacity was boosted through any intergovernment support, because I really believe that you made the point yourself in several presentations, that several parts of the presentation, that the government's failures are what led us here with the issues, the slowness of the response, the inability to respond to the intelligence. Right, you answered the next question about is your liquidity enabling you to withstand similar events going forward? But yeah, and I mean, I didn't like your comment that we're hoping that it's not going to happen again. When, you know, Lloyd's of London is telling you that it's going to happen again, and I don't think, I don't know too many people that will bet against Lloyd's. And yeah, I hope that we don't have a Hail Mary approach to what's going to happen if this happens again. And I think we need a better strategy around that. Perhaps you can quell my fears a little bit there. The next question relates to the premium growth post July 2021. Have you seen a lot of people realizing, hey, getting SASRI is a good idea, and suddenly starting to take up? Has there been a bunch of people rushing in to come and get additional cover post July 2021? My last question, you know, I don't believe that the war in Ukraine has any insurable issues that would be claimable against you, but if you can just confirm that for us. And the same for the floods in KwaZulu-Natal. I think that those issues fall outside of your scope as the special risks insurer, but perhaps you can just give us some insight into those two issues. Please. Timon, thank you very much, and a good report. Well done.
Now, you know the order, right? There's no need for me to intervene unduly, right? Now it's declared in the line of questions as well. Questionnaires. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.